It's the Morning Mess on demand on 95X.com.
Good morning, Mess. We are Marty and Shannon. Our friend Joe Stanley from the Stanley Law Office is joining us in the studio, and we're going to get to Legal Tuesday momentarily. Again, you can drop a text, 315-629-9570. We just got one text for Joe. We're going to ask him that question coming up, but we'd like to have other conversations before we get into Legal Tuesday with Joe Stanley. And Joe walked in on the conversation. I was saying that I went to Beauty and the Beast last night, and they did a very good job with the movie. It cost $160 million to make that movie. They made $170 just in the States on the opening weekend, and I have a feeling it's going to be definitely number one again. We haven't got a ticket. We finally found a ticket. We haven't been able to find a ticket since Friday when they opened. So we finally found one. We were able to go last night, and they do the previews of movies that are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And The Diary of a Wimpy Kid, that's coming up in May. I think it was May 29th, if I'm not mistaken. But opening this Thursday, and I'm going to get Joe Stanley's take on this, because I was talking about Chips. He goes, you mean like the California Highway Patrol Chips? And
uh-huh.
I said, yeah, they're making a movie about it. Joe, what's your take on it? Because we've talked before that some things just can't be remade. And I would put Chips
be,
in that
or
category.
Or shouldn't be.
Or
remade.
Should be.
The only recollection I have of California Highway Patrol was a very bad TV show from the 70s. That's really the only recollection I have. And I don't even remember who was in it. It was on for a few years. Maybe it was Kent McCord. Was that the one?
Oh.
Was that the one with him?
No, wasn't it? Starts with an A. Oh, Lorenzo Lamas, was he Chips? No.
I don't know. That was the later one. But for some reason, I remember Kent McCord being him, some straight-laced. I mean, it was like,
Eric Estrada, Larry Wilcox.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. And it was like the Jack Webb, you know, it was like the Dragnet of the 70s.
Right.
And it wasn't very good. So
the new Chip says Dax Shepard and Michael Pena and Kristen Stewart in it. Not Kristen Stewart, Kristen Bell.
I watched the previews,
is it
I laughed.
Comedy? Is it a comedy?
It is a comedy.
Okay. Well, the original one wasn't a comedy, but it was.
Yeah.
The it was funny because it was so bad.
It was so bad that it was funny.
Yes.
Yeah. So Chips in theaters on Thursday, and just kind of want to get your opinion on that. Let's talk SU hoops for a minute. I wasn't shocked when I heard that Coach Hopkins was leaving. I mean, personally, I think he should have left a while ago. I think he's been kind of being led on by SU. Obviously, I think we all knew deep down inside Boeheim wasn't going anywhere. He was going to fight it. Now, part of the whole process was when they announced that he was going to retire after the 2017-2018 season. That was the university, and that was part of that whole deal with the scandal and everything that was going on, as you know.
Yes, yep.
And you knew at that point that Boeheim did not want to retire.
Oh,
he was being
clear.
Forced,
well,
right?
Yeah, he was told.
He was told.
Yeah.
And that was part of that whole process
of the
scandal.
He doesn't strike me as somebody who likes to be told anything. So
from now on, I'm going to call it Boeheim University. Because the people who want to argue with me, the fact that, and I'll throw this out there too, he knew everything that was going on with Fab Melo because Jim Boeheim is informed of every single thing that happens at that university. That's my personal opinion, and I'll stand by that. But so when Coach Hopkins left, I kind of wish Coach Hopkins would have left before, but I felt like he was kind of led on that he was going to be the man after the 2017-2018 season. And I think that set the big tone when he decided to take that job at Washington. He had the news. He knew that Boeheim wasn't going anywhere, and you can't wait any longer because, let's face it, Hopkins isn't getting any younger.
Well, no, I think he got a great deal, and I don't know what the answer. Who knows what the truth is? You know, it's like everything else in the world today.
18 sides to every story.
Yes.
Yeah.
And,
I think university is covering up a little bit, but because all of a sudden they said, well, now that Mike Hopkins left, Boeheim has to stay.
Well,
that was already
planned. And again, it may have been they were in a very uncomfortable situation where they were going to have to say, we're not going to honor your promise to be a coach, or they were going to have to tell Boeheim he had to leave when he didn't want to leave. And so I presumably somebody told Hopkins that if something good comes along,
take it.
Yeah. And you know what? I think for him, it was a fabulous opportunity. I think
he's
better there. He has a chance to be
his own person.
Right. Not under the shadow.
Sure.
And there is no program to take over. I mean, the program has not been good there. So he has an opportunity to build something that there's no one to compare him to. And if you look at coaches who have taken over from these long-term legends, most places they have not been successful. They just, you know, because even if they do okay, they're never okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And so Coach Hopkins bleeds orange. He's a West Coast guy anyway, going to Washington. And I just read that he's bringing some SU connections with him. Jason Hart, who played here at Syracuse. Tim O'Toole going to be joining him on the coaching staff in Washington.
Jason Hart was a really, really good player here, yes.
And he actually did some good recruiting, too, with the program. He actually was working with, who did I just read it was? It wasn't Cal. I think it was USC that he was working with.
Yep.
So, yeah. So now, on the other side of that, what's Joe Stanley's take on the news about Tyler Lydon allegedly supposed to be signing with an agent and going to the NBA? Personally, I think it's another mistake made by a young kid being persuaded by money.
Well, you know, and again,
I don't think he's ready.
That's my opinion, but you know, he has to make the decision and the time, the money. What I'm surprised about is that you wait to sign for an agent most of the time to see how well you do in the evaluations. You have the option to go, you know, to go
test the waters,
go to the combine. You don't have to sign an agent until whenever. So why would you burn your bridges completely unless you'd already made up your mind you're going for whatever it is and I'm done?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they don't go to classes. Sometimes they made up their mind already. They didn't go to classes. This is the end no matter what.
Yeah.
So you don't know. But, you know, he's an adult. Hopefully he had the opportunity to consider all of these for a long time. And, you know, you hope he does well. He seems like a very nice guy, and hopefully he is successful, because the more success they have in the NBA, it's better for Syracuse. And, you know, I just hope he does well.
And what Joe Stanley's talking about is the NCAA rules is, like Joe says, you can test the waters, but as soon as, like, you can go to combines and see where you would go, but as soon as you sign an agent, you're done.
Right.
You have to, then you're done with college. That's how it works. Anyway, always like to talk to Joe Stanley about that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. Legal Tuesday coming up. Joe Stanley's here. It's brought to you by the Stanley Law Office. We've got one text with a question. Feel free to give us a call in studio right now, 315-421-9595. Any question for Joe, and it could be any legal question at all. If Joe's here and he doesn't know the answer right away, he finds out to help you out. And Joe, how can they contact you if they ever need you at the Stanley Law Office?
Sure. My email is joe@stanleylawoffices.com. The number is 1-800-608-3333, and stanleylawoffices.com is the website.
Legal Tuesday next from the Stanley Law Office. Joe Stanley's here, 95X Office. They can help you out. Any legal advice, now's the time to call, 315-421-9595, or you can contact Joe. Don't go it alone. Contact the Stanley Law Office. And how they do that, Joe?
Oh, you want me to say yes. Where I'm at? Okay, it's joe@stanleylawoffices.com. I'm asleep over here. 1-800-608-3333 or stanleylawoffices.com. No, I was reflecting on our conversation.
Yes, we were talking a little SU.
Which was edited from, this is a...
It was big time edited.
That's right.
Edited. You're on with Joe Stanley, and what is your question, sir?
Yes, I'm trying to file for workers' compensation. And they were saying, I threw out my back, and they were saying that they smelled marijuana on me.
Okay. I mean, I'm not sure if you got hurt.
It was at work, but, you know, I mean, you can throw your back out any time if you're getting high and stuff, right?
Well, I guess the question is, if you're hurt on the job, you can file a claim. Now, you can't be intoxicated on the job. There are rules about it. There's rules about if the cause of your injury is intoxication, whether it's marijuana, alcohol, or anything else, that's a basis. That's one of the few bases they can have for denying the claim, because they say it's not related to your job. So that's one of the serious, I mean, that's an issue. I mean, whether they smelled marijuana or not, that's not proof of anything also, by the way. For the only way they can prove that is that if they tested you and they got a proper test, and marijuana testing these days is still not that great. There's all sorts of room for a problem. So did they deny your claim because they said you smelled like marijuana?
Yes.
Well, did they prove? I mean, did you admit that you did?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Well, I mean, so you're entitled to a hearing. I mean, you have to file a claim and go to the doctor and do all the paperwork and say how you actually got hurt, and then they have to prove that you were. And if they didn't do any blood testing, and they didn't, I don't know how they're going to prove, because somebody said that you smelled marijuana is not really proof of anything, unless they get some other witnesses who'll say they saw you smoking on the job. Or they were smoking with you or whatever. So that's how that works. just because somebody says something, I could say you were drunk too, or you smelled like alcohol, and that doesn't mean you were, or they can prove it.
Okay.
I mean, so you have to go forward, and you know, you discuss this in detail with your lawyer, whoever you hire for workers' comp, and our office does, and there's other good lawyers that do that. So if you want to contact my office, you can. But you go over all the facts in detail, and it's all confidential, and they'll give you more about what I'm telling you of how this works. But the denial itself, they have to prove it.
Good luck to you, okay, buddy?
I got another question.
Okay.
I really like your new commercials.
Okay.
Where you don't talk.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Thanks for the compliment.
We got a text that came in.
Yeah, actually, this is a follow-up text. We actually, you responded to this person back in November. They said back then in the divorce, ex-husband got the house and was given a year to remove my name from the mortgage. He has not. Now, the follow-up is, my bankruptcy was discharged in 2011. I've continued to pay the mortgage. I tried to refinance with the same company as I'm now paying 11.5% interest. It was rental, but now I'm living there. I was denied because no reaffirmation agreement was done. Does this mean I no longer own the property?
My answer to this is that's a very confusing series set of facts that you just gave me, and I'm not sure what your answer is. And if you had a lawyer for the divorce, the status of the property and who owned it had to be decided. And so if we're talking about taking names off, that means somebody else owned it, presumably you. I don't know what happened in terms of, I don't know that your bankruptcy would have anything to do with it unless the bank then took over the property as a part of the bankruptcy. Need more facts. That is a very detailed situation. And the lawyer you had, I don't know how you got to where you are. This is one of those deals you don't want to be where you are, because I don't really even understand how you got to where you are. If you want to send me an email, joe@stanleylawoffices.com with these facts laid out, I'll ask you, and then I can probably send you on to somebody who can help you, or back to the lawyer who handled your divorce.
Quick question for you, Joe. I know over the last several years, bankruptcy's changed too, right? The whole process of...
Well, the process has changed, and how many times you can do it has changed.
So that's okay, yeah.
Yeah, and so you but again, whatever it is, it is. And the real reasons for the change in the rules is so you can't repetitively do it, and it has become more difficult to do it more than once, and they're more challenging to let you get discharged of your debts. But yes, the rules have changed.
Legal Tuesday on the Morning Mess, 95X, brought to you by the Stanley Law Office. Joe Stanley is here. Don't go it alone. Contact Joe, and how can I reach you at the Stanley Law Office?
Sure, joe@stanleylawoffices.com, and that person can send me an email about their issue, or 1-800-608-3333. stanleylawoffices.com is our website.
Got an email from Wyatt in Syracuse. He wants to know how long a landlord has to return the security deposit. His mom's 68. He says she did everything. I'm trying to edit because there's some words here I can't say. My 68-year-old mom moved out after giving her 30 days notice. She left the place cleaner than she got it. She's on a fixed income. It's been 3 months. She desperately needs the deposit back. How long does the landlord have to give it?
His time to do it has expired.
Okay.
And the answer is you send him a certified letter saying you need to return the money, or you sue him in small claims court immediately.
Is there a time frame on that, Joe?
Well, it depends. If this is only a one, depends on whether it's a commercial, whether you have to hold it in escrow or whatever.
Okay.
But it's still within a reasonable time. You know, 30 days, 90 days is the longest. I mean, there's no reason. 30 days is unless you're going to offset it. In other words, once you move out, even if it's not covered by the escrow rules, in other words, if you have a certain number of apartments, you have to keep the money in an account.
Mm-hmm.
Now, real quick, I've heard other people say this type of stuff too, and I want to ask you as the lawyer. When you move it into a place, it's kind of like when you get a car and it's a lease or something like that. You want to take pictures at the beginning, right? And then want to take pictures at the end. That's very important.
Oh, document every little tiny thing. There was a nick on the countertop here.
But a lot of people don't do that is my whole point, and they should.
If you don't do that,
So take pictures when you move in.
Yeah, and you have the landlord go through it with you. You document it. You keep your own list. Take pictures. Have him acknowledge that these are all the debts. You know, it's like getting a rent a car at the airport. If you don't put the dents on, you're paying for the dents. You're paying for at the end. no matter what. But you need to do that. In this day and age, we have pictures. You can even video the whole thing. Yeah. You don't even need to take pictures. You can video the entire interior. That avoids problems. And if you have to go to small claims court, you have the documentation both before and after. And landlords, I always tell them, they have more of a reason to do it, to take pictures before and after, because they, believe it or not, probably have a lot more issues than tenants do.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
No, it's true.
So yeah, people can just up and leave, and the landlord's stuck with it.
The trash in your place.
Right. You know? I say, landlords, you take the pictures before and after when they leave, whether they do it under good terms or not, so you have all the documentation also.
There you go. Joe Stanley's always bringing good stuff. We're honored to have him every Tuesday at this time, just after 8:30. This is called Legal Tuesday in the Morning Mass at 95X. One more time, don't go it alone. Contact Joe. How can they contact your office, Joe?
Sure. Joe at StanleyLawOffices.com. 1-800-608-3333 is our number, and StanleyLawOffices.com is the website.
Always get great questions. You can continue to send the text in, 315-629-9570. Like us on Facebook. It's Marty and Shannon, 95X. You can leave a message there, and we'll do it again next week. So, Joe, thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
You